else we want to try to...
I know you've probably told the story many times, but I would like to hear the clarinet solo story.
Live at the Vanguard?
Yeah, that kind of launched.
Yeah, that. So we were doing this album Live at the Vanguard, Thad Jones, Mel Lewis Band, and we're playing a tune called The Little Pixie, which is very fast. And everyone in the saxophone section gets 32 bar solo. And the melody is like, really fast. And so here I was, a Juilliard clarinetist with my tenor from the band, but I had been playing jazz on the clarinet on the side, and Thad never gave me anything to play the clarinet on in the band. He was mostly a saxophone lover, you know. So Joe Farrell started his 32 bars, then Jerry Dodgen, next 32 bars, then Jerome Richardson. When it came to me, I just picked up the clarinet and played the solo on the clarinet. And then Pepper played his solo after me, and then I won a downbeat award for a new star clarinet, or a talent deserving of wider recognition, downbeat, for those 32 bars. So that also helped me make that transition to think, oh, maybe I can do this. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something you might be able to find and play the snippet of, because it's available. I have it here. I can lend it to you if you want.
Did Thad react at all to you?
He didn't say anything to me at all.
Was that scary?
Till years later. Yeah. Probably didn't talk to me for, I don't know. But till years later, after Thad actually was gone and Mel had the band at the Vanguard and I was invited to be a guest, Mel told the story. And after I played the clarinet solo, Thad said to him, "What the F did he do that for?" What the F did he do that for?
So he could get you know, recognized in downbeat.
I mean, yeah, right.
But is that really one of those funny kind of door opening moments?
Yeah, it absolutely was. It was. Yeah. Well, it was a one take thing live. We didn't do any more than one take on any tune. It was a one night at the Vanguard. It wasn't like when people left there, we stayed all night and redid tunes. Mm-hmm. It was it. One night at the Village Vanguard. Period. You know, and we recorded it, and it became an album, and that solo was on there. Nobody said get rid of the clarinet, so it hung in there. Yeah. Be interesting for you to listen to that and hear the difference in the style that I play now than then.
Yeah,
you know,
I think I'll have to do that.
Yeah.
The only thing I'd like to do is I'd like to change mics, and if you're willing to, you know, maybe just sort of point some things out in your room, your little private space.
Well, I don't know. What's to point out?
It's definitely just that thing sitting on the...
Oh, yeah. Well, we have this room filled with instruments. There are, like, clarinet parts all over here, two tenor saxophones. How many clarinets? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 clarinets. Many, many mouthpieces and accoutrements to the clarinet. And then we have this sculpture of a mouse playing a clarinet standing on a tin can. And the mouse, as you can see, can move. He's got legs that are springs, you know. And that was a clarinet. That was an old clarinet that I had. And I just met this sculptor in New York. And I said, make me something for my birthday to lock the clarinet in even more solidly into my subconscious. Because at that time, I was doing an album for Columbia. In the 70s. I'm blanking on the name of the album. But I played clarinet mostly on that album, so I wanted to give a gift to myself. Look at I didn't actually notice this, the two buttons. CL, clarinet. I never noticed that. Wow. So this was me kind of saying, you could do it, Eddie, you could play the clarinet.
And then this looks sort of like a doctor's table to me.
Yeah.
Tell us what...
Oh, the album was Morning Thunder, by the way. I just remember. Well, here's my knife with my reeds. I got all the reeds in little parts. This is where I dip my reeds into this. And here are all these barrels for clarinet, saxophone, mouthpieces. All of this in service of making a sound on an instrument. All of this has to do with ba. And what I like ba to be ba or ba. You know, it all has to do with how do I want the sound to be. Yeah. Yeah. You know.
Do you sing?
No. Well, I sing to myself. I haven't sung on gigs in a long time.
Yeah, but what you just described, you sort of hear a sound in your head that then you have to...
My playing is singing, is internal singing put out on the instrument. Yeah. Yeah.
What else feels personal and close.
I'll play the saxophone for you if you want.
That'd be beautiful.
That I could do. Give you a little tenor saxophone. May have to find your level.
And I notice the room is surrounded with humidifiers.
Yes, but they're not working. I just got lazy, so it really didn't do anything. Let's see.
But it's something you have to pay attention to out here, I guess.
Let's see if I can get this saxophone reed to work. And I could be my ornery saxophone self for a minute here. I'm trying to get this reed to uncurl from the dryness. And even though it was in it's in a humidor, a cigar humidor, you can see the room here is 27% humidity. I like to know what's going on. And that's pretty high, actually, for here. All of 27%. Albuquerque's a little bit more. But let's see if I can get this going here. Still, the reed's a little curly. It is like a doctor's table, but you don't want to have surgery on a doctor's table that looks like this, I'll tell you. Yeah. Everything has to be right when you play a reed instrument. It's very, very delicate. Even the saxophone. Clarinet is more fussy, but let's see what this feels like. Feelings going through that. I started off with a lot pretty fast, and then suddenly I started getting a little more mellow. Yeah, you know. Kind of with a lot of energy, and I look out at the view, and I just.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, Eddie, who's the photo on the coffee table here?
Who this?
Yeah.
That's Joe Allard, who was kind of my mentor. When I was in Juilliard, I was studying with Joe.
And you like to have a photo of him
close
by?
Yeah, that my buddy Lawrence Feldman from New York sent me that photo. I think we're the only two who have that picture of him, so. And, yeah, he's been gone quite a few years. But it's just nice to see his face and just kind of reminds me of certain things. Yeah.
Who did these paintings?
That guy in that painting, Ron Odridge, who is a periodontist, monster clarinetist, man for all seasons, painter, novelist. He has a novel coming out and great clarinet player. That's this room. There's the couch. There's the rug. You know, there's the piano over there. So he took the photos, went home, and did a picture of both of us.
Does he live here?
He's in New York.
Oh.
He's got a practice on Park Avenue and plays one night a week with his own band.
That is a Renaissance man.
Yeah, he really is. He's amazing. Yeah.
And then this stack here is your...
This is just, what I practice to kind of... This is that piece that Frank Proto wrote for me. The sketches. It's actually sketches of Gershwin. The clarinet and the string, so I figured I better start looking at it. Better take a look at it, you know.
So what happens when things start falling off the stand? You have to dig down from the bottom.
That's true. I have to throw things off the stand. Yeah. These are things that I'll just pick up and have to practice, you know. It just gives me stuff to do. Keep myself interested, you know.
Well, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure.